Welcome to Confidence Part 2. This is the second class in Confidence, and we are going to dive in to how to create more of it at a deeper level. So in the last class, we talked about what confidence is and what it isn't. We talked about the difference between arrogance and confidence and self-confidence, and there's a big difference between having confidence in something you're able to do and having self-confidence in yourself. We talked about why it matters, why establishing the ability and the skill to generate confidence matters, because it's fuel for all of our actions that we take in our lives. And we talked about how to create more of it by picking really powerful thoughts and laddering up to be able to believe in them. And if you just taught that one class to children in, you know, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, taught them just as much as we teach math or reading, I think we'd have a very different world in really helping people understand that we don't have to manipulate the world out there. We don't have to make other people less than for us to be more than. If we just understood how to generate confidence for ourselves, everyone could bring themselves and everyone else up. And so that's why I feel so strongly about teaching the idea of self-confidence to as many people as I possibly can. It's like one of the most important goals of my life is to help people understand their true worthiness and to feel confident in themselves. So today we're going to cover a lot of additional concepts, a lot of additional ideas on self-confidence. But one of the ones that I wanted to start with was really understanding that your relationship with yourself and how you feel toward yourself will be one of the biggest indicators of how much confidence you will feel, how much self-confidence you will feel in your life. And the next course that we're teaching here is relationships. And one of the main relationships that I'm going to teach you about is how to have a relationship with yourself that's very positive. And one of the most positive things that you can have is self-confidence. It's like, if you think about, if you're in relationship with somebody else and you have confidence in that person, you have confidence in the relationship, you're going to act and behave and show up in a very different way than if you don't. And that's the same with yourself. So I think one of the most important lessons that gave me the most self-confidence was true acceptance of myself. And that came from two teachers, Pema Chodron and Byron Katie. And one of the things that I had been raised with, and that many people are raised with, is that we need to be good, right? It's important for us all to be good, and we need to be pleasant, and we need to be, likable. And so my whole life when I was younger was really about, how do I make myself more likable? How do I make myself more acceptable? How do I get more approval? And so, and if you think about the way that we're raised in school, you know, we're taught to please the teacher and to be a good girl and to behave really well. And when we raise our hand and we're very quiet, we sit there and we're well-dressed and we can presentable and we're very sweet to all of our friends, that's what we get approval for. We don't get approval for failing and overcoming failure. We don't get approval for accepting ourselves even when things are ugly and negative and bad. In fact, we get punished for those sorts of things. So much of the work that I do with adults is unwinding what they were taught as children. And so what Pema and Byron Katie taught me was really that there is nothing about me that is unacceptable. There's nothing about me as a human that I can't acknowledge and accept. And it was a game changer. So here's what I mean by that. As a human, we talked about this when I taught the class Last month, when I taught the class, What to Think to Yourself, one of the concepts that we talked about is that the world is 50-50. It's 50% positive and 50% negative. Well, that's also true for us humans. We have a balance between light and dark, positive and negative, good and bad. And so much of our lives, we're taught to like hide the parts of us that aren't great, to hide the parts of us that aren't good. And hopefully people won't ever find out about them. And what Katie taught me was that, and Pema too, it's like, no, that is part of the beauty of being human, is your failures and your shortcomings and the things you don't do well and the mistakes you make and the times when you're not your best self. That is part of this gorgeous experience we have that's called life. And so part of what the work is that Katie teaches is to really look at all of your judgments about other people as a projection. So if I think you're dumb, or if I think you're stupid, or if I think you're rude, can I take those judgments and turn them back on myself and understand, no, I'm rude. No, I'm ugly. No, I'm bad. And really see those in myself without condemning myself and without judging myself. And I kind of binged her work for about a year. And I did a lot of judging other people and turning them back and reflecting on me. And I will tell you, it was the most profound year of my life. It completely changed how I saw myself and how I saw other people, because I saw the parts in me that weren't good. I saw the parts in me that did make mistakes. I saw the parts in me that were bitchy and ugly and awful and terrible and all of it. And I owned it without apology, with really seeing that that was part of my humanness. Now, it doesn't mean that I want to continue to act that way. And this is where I think a lot of people get confused with this work. It's like, if I accept that I'm bitchy sometimes and I don't use that to judge myself, people are afraid that if they do that, that it'll make them more bitchy. But what happens is it does the opposite. Because think about this. If I acknowledge I'm kind of bitchy, then I get bitchy about my own bitchiness. And then I try and put it away and I try not to deal with it. But if I'm like, oh yeah, I'm bitchy sometimes, that's real, and I have an openness around it, it makes me less bitchy, because I'm not even bitchy about my own bitchiness. I see that it's part of it. And it helps me apologize when I do something I don't want to do. And it helps me acknowledge that, yes, I am bitchy. So here's a great example of that. If I am in a relationship with you and I'm afraid or unwilling to acknowledge my own bitchiness, and you and I are like, let's say driving, hypothetically, and you're not driving the way that I think you should drive, hypothetically, right? And if I say something to you like, yo, could you do this? Or could you drive that way? Or why'd you just cut that person off? Or why are you doing this? Blah, blah, blah. And the person says to me and says, whoa, you're kind of being bitchy. If I'm like, no, I'm not bitchy, I won't accept that, then all of a sudden in that moment, I'm being bitchy again. But if I'm like, yeah, you're right, it's true, I am bitchy sometimes. Like, I don't want to be that way. Thank you for acknowledging it. I'm going to own it. And then from there, I can change it. So what Katie taught me is that there's nothing that anyone can accuse you of that you can't find as part of your humanness. And there's nothing that you can see in other people that you probably don't have a little bit of in yourself. Game changer. Because as soon as I saw that, and I acknowledge that we're all human and we all have that negative side, when I see it in other people, I'm less judgmental. And when I see it in myself, I'm less judgmental. And there is this level of self-confidence that comes when you have nothing to hide. No secrets, nothing I'm trying to shield you from knowing. I'm like, you want to go through my phone? Go ahead. You want to go through all my private things? Go ahead. You want to, you know, look at my history? You want to dissect? I've already told everyone everything. I already revealed all my shortcomings, all my mistakes, all the things I do wrong. I always acknowledge it. I admit it. I'm out loud with it. And because of that, I have so much confidence in myself, because I have my own back. I have my own acceptance. So if someone says to me, you failed at that, I'm like, you're right. I did. And I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to move on from it, and I'm going to own it. That in and of itself gives me so much more confidence than if someone accuses me of something and I deny it and I push back on it and I pretend like it's not real and then I hide it. Because you all know, you've seen people who are pretending to be confident. They're just hoping that you don't find them out. They're hoping that you just see the surface of them. But when you look at every single person and you acknowledge every single person has this negative side to them, and anyone who's pretending like they don't is not truly owning who they really are as a human. And so the way that you can do this is just notice that anything you see negative in someone else, you have it too. In some way, maybe not in the same way, but in what ways are you jealous? In what ways are you aggravated? In what ways are you frustrated? In what ways are you failing? In what ways are you dumb and stupid and rude and ridiculous? There is so much power in just owning all of it. So when someone accuses you of something, you can confidently say, for sure. People say, oh, you're so rude. I'm like, for sure I am. This is true. And I apologize that I was rude to you there. And I own that I was rude to you there. And I'm probably going to be rude in the future again. And I will own it. And I'll probably apologize for it too. That's it. Like, I'm able to accept myself, not beat myself up, act in a different way when it's available to me, apologize when it's available to me, but not pretend like that isn't me. So I would say for me, that is the most powerful way that I generate self-confidence, is in every criticism, in every ugly thing that's said about me or to me, finding the truth in it and owning it. When friends or strangers or family members say things to me, I feel more powerful when I accept the truth of what they're saying and they feel more heard. I don't need to pretend that I'm not negative sometimes. I don't need to pretend that there isn't ugliness inside of me. I know that there is, because I'm a human being and I accept that about myself. And so when I don't have to be defended, when I don't have to, you know, prove otherwise, I get connection instead of defensiveness. And that's what Katie taught me. She taught me the first act of defense, the first act of war is defense. And so I just don't defend myself. I'm like, I can see it. I can own it. I can open up to all the criticism that is and still love myself and still feel worthy and still be confident in myself. So one of the things that I do is I have my own back and I love myself. I don't have secrets. I don't pretend. What you see is what you get. And I own my mistakes. That is a huge tip. And you can practice that. And for those of you who need help with this, get into your coaching call and tell your coach that you want to tell them all the things that you're afraid of being. I'm afraid of being neglectful. I'm afraid of being mean. I'm afraid I'm a bully. I'm afraid I'm rude. I'm afraid I'm negative. I'm afraid I'm weak. Whatever it is that you're afraid of, make a list of that. And if that's hard for you, then make a list of everything you hate in other people, everything you judge in other people, and try to find it within yourself. It seems like it would be a disempowering exercise. It's incredibly empowering. It's so powerful to be able to do this process. Okay. Now, the other piece of confidence as we move forward is to remember that you're going to build your confidence based on who you are and not what you've done. Okay. So if you want to have confidence in an area where you're already successful, you can build your confidence on thoughts based on your experience of what you've done. But if you want to be self-confident, that means you're going to have to, you know, build it before you have the evidence that you're good at something. You're going to have to build it based on who you are, not based on what you've done. So if you're trying to get your confidence externally, it means you're trying to get your confidence by other people's approval, other people saying that you're great, other people saying that they love you, other people saying that you're doing it right. When you get your confidence from them, you're 100% dependent on other people and what their opinion is, whether they're providing the approval or not. So that's one way where we look externally for our confidence, which is a weak way to do it. The other way is we look to our results to build our confidence. We look to the results we've already had to build our confidence. Well, that's great if we have lots of great results. But if we don't have lots of great results, how are we going to be confident in something that we can't yet see? And so I'll give you the example for me as a beginner kind of pickleball player. I've been playing pretty seriously for like 5 months. And so I don't really have like the results or the experience to rely on for my confidence. I have to rely on myself as a human to build self-confidence to go out there. So for example, in pickleball, you can go to these parks and there's all these people playing. And when two people lose, another two people go join. Well, I just watch these two people play. They're amazing, way better than me. So what's going to give me the self-confidence to get out on that court and play this team that's so much better than me? And if I wait until I'm experienced enough to be able to play them, right? I'm going to be waiting a long time because the way that you get better is by playing an opponent that's better than you. So in my mind, I can't rely on my results and I can't rely on other people being like, oh, you're great. You should go out there and play. I have to rely on me and my thoughts about myself. You can learn. You're great. It's okay if you lose. You've got this. You have some training, like all the thoughts that go on in my head that get me out there to do the thing. And knowing that if I lose or if I get completely beaten or if I embarrass myself by not knowing the rules or something like that, that I have my own back, that I can own my own mistakes and that we're all just human. Doesn't matter how much better you are at anything than me, you're a human and I'm a human. You may be a professional pickleball player. You may be a professional coach. You may be a professional influencer. We're both still human. And I can connect with you with your humanness, even if your ability is better than mine. The third thing I want you to think about is there's this idea that we rely on our ability instead of our capacity. And one of the best ways to generate self-confidence is to think about your capacity and not your current ability, especially if you're learning something new. Let's say you're building a business and you've never built a business before and you've never been an entrepreneur before. A lot of people in this program want to be entrepreneurs, but they've never done it before. And so they'll come to me and they'll say, well, I've never done it before, so therefore I can't be confident. I'll say, that's not true. Confidence doesn't come from having done it before. Confidence comes in believing in your capacity to do it. That's how all people do all things they've never done before. You don't start with confidence. As little kids learning how to walk, we're not like, I already have confidence. I have self-confidence that I can keep trying, that I can keep doing, that I can keep taking action. So when you start looking at what is my capacity for growth here? What is my capacity? What is the best case scenario? So let's use me with pickleball again. Or actually, let's use my son Christian with golf. My son Christian's trying to be a pro golfer. So he can look at his current ability and his current stats and his current scores, or he can look at what he thinks he's capable of in the future. Now, if he relies on what is real externally right now, he might end up quitting. He may not think his results are good enough. But if he relies on what his capacity is and what he thinks he's capable of in the future, he's never going to quit. He's going to stay positive. He's going to stay connected. He's going to stay energized because he's going to have self-confidence by thinking about his capacity and not his current ability. As he gets stronger and does more, you know, gets more results and gets more experience, he also has to be careful not to switch and then depend on that experience for his confidence, because then he'll stop growing. He'll be defeated by his own success, because if he can't build on that or he can't increase that by focusing there, he may end up quitting. But if he keeps thinking about what am I capable of in my future, what could I possibly do? If I keep playing pickleball for the next 5 years, how good could I get? If I keep golfing for the next 10 years. How good can I get? Notice how much confidence that's going to create versus I lost a game today or I didn't shoot well today in golf. Notice the different feeling it's going to create. Okay. So we don't want to focus on our current ability. When we're generating self-confidence, we want to focus on our capacity. Another concept that's super helpful as you are going out into the world and developing and creating self-confidence, one of the things to remember is that you will build the skill of self-confidence through adversity and through challenges. So think about it this way. If you want to build muscle, you got to go get the heavy weights. You got to go look for them and you got to lift them up and you got to lift them up again and you got to lift them up again. And you actually have to try and lift ones that you can't lift yet and focus on being able to try and lift those. The same thing is true when anytime you're going to achieve a goal. So if you think about a goal that you have in your life, you may be frustrated because you haven't achieved it yet. But the only thing between you right now and your goal there is a bunch of obstacles, a bunch of challenges. Now, here's what's gorgeous about those challenges. Overcoming them to achieve your goal, first of all, is a wild fun ride. It's extremely exhilarating to overcome challenges to achieve your goal. But the byproduct of doing that is confidence, self-confidence in yourself, and resilience. Because what do you want to be good at? Think about it. What do you really want to be good at? I know for me, I want to be good at overcoming any challenge that comes my way. Because if I'm focused on actually seeking out challenges, seeking out obstacles, I'm going to have a way bigger life and way more confidence than if I'm hiding from challenges and hiding from obstacles. Think about that. If I don't have self-confidence, which means I don't believe in my ability to accept and go through a challenge, I'm not going to accept the challenge. So it's a perpetuating cycle. If I'm just hiding all the time, I'm perpetuating the idea that I'm not capable. But if I'm accepting challenges and I'm putting myself out there and I'm focused on my capability, those challenges that I'm overcoming with my own mind, the actions that I'm overcoming, even if I'm failing and failing and failing and failing, the fact that I keep going and keep taking action means that I'm generating and building self-confidence. Think about watching someone maybe learn to juggle, maybe a small child learning how to juggle. Let's say, I don't know, 8 years old, trying to learn how to juggle. And you're just watching it and they're constantly dropping and constantly dropping and constantly dropping. And they're trying to juggle and constantly dropping and trying to juggle and constantly dropping. But they never give up. They don't lose their mind. They don't get frustrated. They have so much self-confidence. They believe in themselves so much that they just keep trying and trying and trying and trying and trying. There's so much, like we have so much admiration there. We have so much confidence in that person because they're able to continue to focus on their capacity, not their current ability, to generate enough fuel to keep going. That's what self-confidence does. That's why we have to be focused on challenges as opportunities, obstacles as opportunities. So as we go through these courses, you'll see that I'm always going to encourage you to set a huge goal for yourself. Why? Why do I want you to set a huge goal for yourself? The bigger the goal, the bigger the obstacles. The bigger the obstacles, the more confidence you will build. The bigger the weights, the stronger you're going to get. The bigger the challenges, the more confidence you're going to have. A lot of people will set a big goal, and if they don't have self-confidence, they'll immediately feel terrible. They'll immediately struggle with their own self-worth, right? Because they'll believe, I can't do that because I don't have the ability now. I don't believe in my capacity now. Now, listen to this. Any goal worth having is way beyond your current ability. If you set a goal that's within your current ability, there's no growth there. There's no challenge there. There's no accomplishment. There's no feeling proud of yourself. There's just demonstrating your current ability. But if you want to grow and evolve and expand your humanness and expand who you are as a human, the bigger your goal, the bigger opportunity you're going to have for that. And listen, I say this all the time. When it comes to self-confidence, it doesn't matter if you ever achieve the goal, ever. It doesn't matter. What matters is, are you putting yourself in a situation where you're challenging yourself enough to build your own self-confidence? And the last piece of self-confidence is so important to remember, and it's something that I constantly remind myself of, is the worst that can happen in any goal, in any attempt to do anything amazing, the worst that can happen is your emotions around it. Okay. The worst that can happen is death, but then you're dead. So you're not even having an emotion. So you're not even feeling the pain of that. Okay. So that's what a lot of people come back. They're like, what about death? Okay. Death, you're dead. So it doesn't matter. But anything that you attempt, what you're most afraid of is how you will feel if you fail, how you will feel if people make fun of you, how you will feel if people don't buy your thing or if people cancel you, whatever it is. So if you can identify what is the worst case scenario and what is the emotion that I'm so afraid of feeling, and you are willing, listen to this, if you are willing to experience any emotion that the world will present your mind to be triggered to feel, there is nothing that can penetrate your self-confidence. Because I'm going to keep going if I believe that there's nothing I can't handle, no matter what the emotion is, no matter how many times I fall down, no matter how scared I am, no matter how humiliated I am, no matter how frustrated I am, I can process those emotions and I can move past them. And the better you get at feeling negative emotion, the better you get at success, period. So if you open yourself up to judgment, you let people be wrong about you, and you open yourself up to your own negative judgment, your own negative emotions, self-confidence will permeate your life. And not only that, you'll just get better and better and better and better and better at it. So when people say, how do you have so much self-confidence? How do you believe in yourself so much? It's a choice. It's a choice that I have developed the skill of not just loving myself, not just appreciating myself, but focusing on what is my capacity as a human and what are the challenges that are in front of me that I am willing to embrace and overcome no matter what emotion they might present. That's confidence. That's true self-confidence. Not just believing in my ability, but believing in my capacity to feel any emotion, to keep taking action no matter what. Now, this is important. I don't have to believe in my capacity of achievement. I only have to believe in my capacity of effort, of attempt, of continuously striving and continuously going towards that thing. Huge difference. I don't have to be like, oh yeah, I can do that. I can make $100 million, no problem. That's challenging. I don't know if I can commit to that, but I can commit to trying. I can commit to doing. I commit to showing up every day and believing in that and doing the work to accomplish that. That I can believe in. I can believe in not quitting. Now, that doesn't mean I won't change my mind about a goal. I might. I might decide one day that I don't want to make $100 million, but I got my 100 M's here, so probably not, right? I may change my mind, and I leave myself open to that. If it stops being fun at any point, I'll probably stop having that goal. But for now, I believe in not my current ability to do that, but in my capacity to do that, and that's what opened me up. Sometimes I overshare my negativity as a defensive action. I see there's a difference between sharing it as a way to own it and not as a defensive action. Yeah, exactly. You'll be like, well, this is just how I am and I can't help it or something like that. Just be like, oh no, seriously, I'm a bitch sometimes, or I'm insecure sometimes, or I talk shit sometimes, or I gossip sometimes, or whatever it is, just own what it is. Like when someone's like, you know, you're this, 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 this. And you're like, yeah. They're like, what? You're like, it's true. I am all those things. Now let's talk about them. Okay. Someone says, wow, neglecting owning has kept me stuck for so long in my coaching progress. Do you think that owning is enough to propel us to commit to show up differently next time? Yes, I do. I think it's owning who we really are and owning what's true about us and the world, and also owning that we were never taught how to do this. And that's not our fault. Like, we were never taught how to own who we are and our shortcomings. We were always taught to hide them and pretend they're not there and to try to always be good. One of my favorite quotes is, you don't have to be better than you are. You just have to be you. And you can try to grow and you can try to be better, but in this moment, you don't have to be better than you are. You are just you, and you are a human, and you are worthy. So good. All right. What about a capacity to experience any feeling when it's a good feeling? I can more easily believe that I can experience any negative emotion, but less easily believe that I can experience any positive emotion. Can you explain this more? Yeah, I mean, this is real. A lot of people have a hard time experiencing accomplishment, experiencing pride, experiencing admiration from other people, experiencing success, experiencing financial abundance because of their beliefs about themselves. So if you believe a lot of really negative things about yourself, and you create a lot of results in your life that don't match up, you're going to have that cognitive dissonance, and you're not going to be able to drop into the positive emotions around it. That's why it's so important to do the first part of this work, which is what to think to yourself. If you aren't aligned with your own self-image, you aren't aligned with the thoughts you have about yourself, with the results you're creating, something will have to give. And this really was apparent so much when I first started as a coach. I did most of my work in weight loss, and I would watch clients lose a bunch of weight, but their opinion of themselves was still so negative and still incapable. And so those things didn't match up, and they would have to gain the weight back. It was wild to watch. And as soon as we changed those thought patterns, then they could accept the success that they themselves had created. It's a good question. What about confidence around motherhood? So confidence around motherhood is, you're building up your confidence based on how you are as a mother. Well, you're always going to be screwed when you do it that way, because your confidence will depend on whether other people think you're a good mother, or whether your kids turn out the way you want them to, or whether they're behaving the way you want them to. I've never had success in any of these areas, but you can have self-confidence in believing that you had children because you were meant to be a mother, and you are these children's mother, and you're going to show up as the mother that you want to be and that you have the capacity to be. And half the time, you're going to be terrible at it. And that's part of the deal. And I told my kids this. I'm like, listen, half the time, I'm not going to be a good mom. The other half, I'm going to be a great mom. So this is what we're dealing with. And I'm going to do my best, but still my best is probably only going to be half good. And I tell you, that just made me be so confident as a mother. I feel great about the mother that I am. Other people may look at me and be like, you're crazy. Look what you let your kids do. Look at what your kids are saying. Look at this, whatever. I'm like, this is my choice. My self-confidence as a mother is how I believe that I am meant to be the human that is this child's mother for their journey, which is also 50-50. I think a lot of time we look at our kids and we think, oh, they should be behaving better. If I was a good mother, they would be behaving better. First of all, they shouldn't be behaving better. They should be behaving exactly the way they are. And second of all, you're the perfect mother for them, period. Even in your shortcomings, even when you lose it and yell, even when you neglect, all of it is part of the experience of being alive. Notice how that drops you into confidence and to acceptance. And then from there, you can be creative in improving anything you want to do in your life, but also understanding that there's no need to do that. The desire to do that is going to come from acceptance, not the other way around. Whenever I've had the idea to do something or set a big goal, I have the thought, you shouldn't, you don't need that. And I immediately listen to it and shut down my ideas. Well, stop doing that. Just because your brain says you shouldn't do that, you have to understand that's your primitive brain that's afraid of change. Your primitive brain, which is afraid of the challenges that that's going to accept. There's a lot of challenges that come with being successful, with creating new things, with changing. So a lot of people just stay the same. They don't want to have that friction in their lives. They don't want to have that. So they just have the friction of staying the same, which this is the challenge between your primitive brain and your prefrontal cortex. Your prefrontal cortex is the highest part of your brain that wants to keep evolving, and your primitive brain doesn't want to change. It's just in survival mode. So if you don't understand that that's what's happening, you will probably give into your survival mode brain. Look around. So many people are just trying not to get hurt in the world. And then there's the rest of us that are actually putting ourselves out there into harm's way.
I had like this poetry recital recently, and someone recorded it, sent the video. I watched it back, and I was watching myself walking to the stage, you know, announcing each kid.
Yep.
And then I was having all these thoughts like, why did I look like that? Why did I dress like that? Why didn't I fix my hair better? Why am I stooped over like that? Like all of these
judgments.
Like, yes. A lot of judgment. Mm-hmm. Like I do not look confident. I was just having, and so it's in my mind and I'm like, why am I so
what's your answer?
I need more confidence. I think the thought is I need more confidence because otherwise I wouldn't look like that on the video. Okay. I wouldn't walk like that.
So here's how I want you to think about this.
Okay.
Your concern right now is the way that you looked on the video.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
My concern for you is the way you think about yourself on the video.
Mm.
Do you see the difference?
Yes.
So your question is, why do I look like that? Why am I walking like that? Why am I doing that? And my question to you is, why do you think about yourself that way?
Mm.
Because if it were someone else, would you have judged them the same way?
Probably not.
I mean, what could you have thought seeing that video?
Okay, yeah. So I could have thought, wow, the kids really knew what to do. They were on cue. They followed my cues. I did a good job preparing them to perform in front of their parents, like all of that.
Yeah, like look at me. I'm introducing the kids. I'm walking up there. I'm talking. Like this is not easy to do. I'm presenting these kids that they're all going to be looking at. And here I am doing that. Like we think that like we're just observing ourselves. We think, oh, we're just, what? Why do I look like that? But if you don't allow yourself to think about yourself that way, and you're always directing your mind to think about yourself in a positive way, you will be able to see like, oh, okay. Like, I love you, girl. You're amazing. Next time you're going to stand up a little bit more. Next time we're going to even open, like you can give yourself suggestions. You can give yourself like love and you can improve on what you've already done without all the negativity. Because if you think about it, think about if one of your students, one of those kids on the recorder, you said it was a recorder. What were they on?
Oh, they were doing a recital, like a poetry recital.
Poetry recital. Okay. I don't know why I was thinking that. Poetry recital. So when you were looking at the kids, were you like, ew, why are they standing like that? Why did they walk like that? Why did they say the poem like that?
No.
Ew, why were they dressed like that? What were they doing? Did you think of any kid like that?
No.
Okay, why not?
I was proud of their courage and their bravery and all the practice they put in to be able to memorize.
Now, if I told you, hey, let's go in and criticize the kids.
Mm.
We could have, right?
Yeah.
You know, what's that kid wearing? What are they saying? Why are they walking like that? Like we totally, and we would have been observing them and legitimately making observations, but just notice the difference. Cause like people will say to me, well, that's just like, you know, you're just choosing to be disillusioned. No, exact same situation. You're looking at a kid. You're not having one negative judgment about them. And if you did, you're probably like, oh, I'm going to help them for next time. It's probably in a positive light, right? But with you, it's all very negative, right? And so you don't even have to tell yourself, don't criticize the children. It's just not a habit for you to think about the children that way, but it's a habit for you to think about you that way.
Mm.
And so how do you overcome Like even you, like you're telling yourself you need to be more confident as you're criticizing yourself. It doesn't work that way, right? The way that you build confidence is by really recognizing the extraordinary woman that you are, right? Mm-hmm. In that moment, the fact that you're even doing that, the fact that you're a teacher, that you're helping these kids, and like, could you think about yourself the way you think about the kids and the courage that it took and the putting the recital together and all the work that went into that and like really acknowledging yourself and being proud of yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I was trying to go there because I had 5 hours of sleep. I had put all this time into the presentation afterwards, yeah. And I had made special plaques and frames and stuff. Anyway, so, and here I am like just judging myself.
I talked a little bit about this in the first class, and this is really important. When you see yourself in the mirror, when you see a picture of yourself, when you see a video of yourself, are you willing to commit to having your own back and to believing in yourself and to being positive with yourself, no matter what the picture looks like, no matter how you present, like, can you be like, she's amazing, period. She's amazing, period. Now, next time I'm going to like own that a little bit more, but not in a negative way, but in a more positive way. That's what's going to create the self-confidence, right? When you go up there on the stage, you're introducing the kids. If you have this running critical voice in your head, which my guess is you probably did, because when you looked at the video, there it was, it's going to be hard to show up as the best version of yourself if you're criticizing yourself. It's like, imagine everyone in the audience criticizing you. You don't even need them to, because you're doing it in your own head constantly. And you're not alone. So many of us do that to ourselves.
Right. Yes. Thanks.
It's a good example. It's a really good example. I would watch the video again.
Okay.
And your job is to only think of amazing, loving things to say about yourself and to yourself. So somebody's saying, I have trouble feeling confident about my business when the bank account isn't as high as I want it to be. So that's what I was telling you. You can't get confidence from external things, right? If you're starting a business and you haven't made money yet, it's very hard to be confident if you're relying on money to make you feel confident. I don't need any money to feel confident. I'm confident in my ability and my capacity for the future.
This is interesting because this is something I've actually been working on in coaching, is self-confidence.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because I actually see myself as like an overly, like, you know, a badass, confident woman who goes out and gets things done.
Yeah.
But in reality, I have these obstacles. Mm. And when I go to coaching, they tell me it's confidence. So I'm trying to figure out what is the piece that I'm missing, because what you're saying is kind of just accept things and then that can give me confidence. But if I already think that I'm confident, why am I not doing the things?
Well, okay. There's a difference between thinking you're confident and feeling self-confident, because when you're self-confident, you're driven to action, right? That's what fuels your action. So there's an intellectual thought, I'm a confident person, but if you doesn't generate that emotion for yourself, you're not going to take action. So give me an example. This is the best way for us to do it. Give me an example.
So the biggest thing for me right now is I've been working from home. I make good money. And I want a new job where I work with people on a team. And I don't know if I can do that in my location. And I don't feel confident about getting a new job. And so I feel stuck and trapped.
Right. So you don't feel confident. You don't feel
It's like, there's a part of it where I'm like, of course, everyone should hire me because I'm good at everything. Give me anything and I'll do it. And I always powerhouse and I've created things. But I feel like maybe I don't feel confident about it. But
yeah, because your thought is, I don't know if I can get a job here. That was your thought you presented to me, right? And so when you think that thought, is it generating a lot of self-confidence?
No, it is not.
Shocker, right?
Yeah.
But if you had the thought, I'm going to find a job here that I love. I know it. Because you're not questioning whether someone will hire you. That's not what's creating that, you know, insecurity in you. That your insecurity is coming from, you don't think you can find the job that you want. Because I think you believe once you find it, they'll hire you, right?
Yeah, it'll be perfect.
But your lack of self-confidence is coming from your inability, so to speak, of finding the job. But if you believe, like, there's definitely a job here that I'm going to want, they're going to want me, and I'm going to be on a team, it's going to be so fun.
So how do you get to that? Okay, so this is interesting because it's almost like my action is I'm thinking that I'm confident.
Right.
Right, just but to like... Not. Yeah,
you're confident. Listen, you're self-confident in yourself as someone that's able to do the job, but you're not self-confident when it comes to finding the job.
Right. Right.
Right. So that's the difference. That's why you're not taking action. You're probably not even looking for it.
Right.
It's so crazy. It's like, I don't think I can find it. And so I'll do nothing to find it. Right. Versus, there's for sure a job here.
Right. And it's probably that I have to create it, which then means
maybe, or maybe it already exists. Maybe they're just waiting for you to find them.
Okay. So how do I go from the belief of, I think I'm intellectual mm-hmm. to what I actually said to you is, I don't think I can find a job here.
Yeah.
Which is scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
So now I need to, that's like real deep. I want to hold on to that thought.
Yeah. But see, if you hold on to that thought, you automatically create a lack of confidence around it, right? It's so yes. crazy. It's like the opposite of it versus like, I'm going to find yeah. three jobs that would work within the next 3 weeks, period. I'm going to go out there and do that because I don't have the job yet, but I know that I'm able to find jobs that exist in the world. This is not rocket science. I can do this. I'm a confident, capable woman, but I just have a thought lodged in there that's preventing me from taking any action, which perpetuates the idea that there's no job to be found.
Right. Because I'm not doing anything. And then I just prove
it. To find it. You're like, it doesn't exist. I haven't looked for it, but I'm sure it doesn't exist. But be careful because then you'll go out there and look for the job. And if you don't find it, you'll be like, see. And that's your confidence relying on something external. But when you're like, I'm good at finding shit. I am good at creating results. I am good at getting what I want. So I'm going to find this job for myself no matter what. Like that's going to generate such a different emotion, such different energy if you believe in it. Right? You believe in your capacity. Listen, don't believe in your capacity to get the job or to find the job and get the job. Believe in your capacity to take action to find the job.
That's it, right? Yeah. It's like breaking it down. That's yes. it.
Yeah.
So I know how to take action.
Yeah. So what would you do?
I mean, what would I do when I got off the call with you? I would let people know, go out and network.
Yeah. And like look online and talk to people and post stuff. Yeah. Yeah. It's like all of a sudden your capacity for action is huge. If you have, you know that you can do all the work that needs to be done in order to find the job. You know that you have the capacity to do that.
Yeah. But then I hit another pothole where I'm like, well, I'm not confident. Damn. There's a lot of lack of confidence, yeah. which is wild.
Yeah. But see, this is the thing. It's like, when you tell yourself, well, I'm not confident to go talk to the people, or I'm not confident to go do that, that's just an intellectual thought that's going to completely dissuade you from feeling any kind of confidence. But if you just say, you don't have to say yourself, I am confident. You just have to say, I know how to take action. I know how to talk to humans. I know how to looking for something. I know how to see if someone else has that. Like all of a sudden you have all these things that you do know how to do. And you know that you know how to take action from that point. And remember all of the challenges. Make a list of all the challenges that are going to be in between you and that job that you want. Those are your weights that you're going to lift. Those are the things that are going to help you develop the confidence. So don't see them as roadblocks, see them as opportunities for growth.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's like whether you, this is what's so important too, whether you get this job or not, your attempt at going out there and finding this job with all of your heart, with all of your energy, will make you so much more of a confident person, whether you get the job or not. If you approach it with this kind of mentality where all of these challenges are going to build up, because like, let's say you go up to someone and you're like, hey, I'm in this industry and I'm looking for, you know, I want to get out of my house. I want to go work in an environment. Do you know anyone that has this kind of job? And they're like, no. Even though they say no, even though they may react to you that way, you had the confidence to go up there and ask and to put yourself out there. And if you own that and you're like, girl, I'm proud of you for doing that, especially because you got rejected and you had your own back after you got rejected, then you do it again versus like, I knew it.
See? Yeah, I'm following through for myself.
Yes.
Rather than failing ahead of time.
Exactly. And then even if you get the job or not, you will have like grown as a human. That's why I'm always like, go after the goal no matter what. Don't be like, well, I just don't think there's one here. Exactly. Failing ahead of time.